Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Swashbucklers steal the memories, but we have a new acting president on the rise in this episode as we discuss these and one of the NFL's best backs ever, a national champion stud quarterback, a high-profile coach, and a famous stadium opening its gates for the first time. It's all this and more coming up in a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. And today we have our July 16th edition covering the football history headlines from this date and the birthdays of Hall of Famers from the college and the pro ranks. And we have a lot, just like we said in the opening, a lot of teasers there, and I think we'll get right at it. And we'll start off with our football history headlines. And the first one is Three River Stadium opens July 16th, 1970. In Pittsburgh, it was the Pirates who opened up Three River Stadium with a 3-2 loss to the Cincinnati Reds in baseball. The stadium would serve as both the home to the Pirates and the NFL Steelers from 1970 to the year 2000. The stadium was so named as it sat next to the confluence of the Ohio, Allegheny, and the Monongahela Rivers. The USFL's Pittsburgh Maulers and the University of Pittsburgh also played some home games at Three River Stadium. The stadium was the venue where the first night World Series game took place in 1971, and also had the famous Immaculate Reception occur on December 23, 1972. The final game at Three River Stadium, well, that took place on December 16, 2000 in a Steelers victory. July 16, 1980, Ronald Reagan was nominated as a Republican Party candidate for the President of the United States. Reagan's connection to football is that he played for Eureka College as a lineman. More famously, he portrayed the University of Notre Dame's legend, George Gipp, in the 1940 film titled Newt Rockne, All-American. Reagan became known as the Gipper from that film going forward, based on George Gipp's famous quote of, "Just win one for the Gipper." And our newspapers.com football history headline of the day comes from the July 17, 1994 edition of the Town Talk in Alexandria, Louisiana, with their headline of Toronto Edges Pirates. No, it's not the Pirates we were just talking about in a little bit, opening up Three Rivers, because in this article is a recount of the July 16, 1994 Canadian Football League game where the CFL's Shreveport Pirates lose their first home game 34-35 to the Toronto Argonauts. Argos quarterback Mike Carrigan threw two second-half touchdown strikes that helped Toronto to the victory. Shreveport squad jumped out to an early lead with back-to-back 64-yard plays, a rushing TD by back Reggie Barnes, and then a scoring pass from Terrence Jones to Wayne Walker. The Argos ended an 18-game road losing streak that extended back to 1991 with this win in 1994. The Shreveport Pirate franchise would fold after the 1995 season, as many of the U.S.-based CFL franchises started to befall in that failed expansion of the league beyond the Canadians' southern border. Now, if you want to be able to read through some old articles like we did in the Town Talk today, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating all the way back to 1798. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping the support of the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. Once again, that address, sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, free 7 days, get them today. Now let's go to our Hall of Fame birthdays. July 16th, 1889, Roxbury, Massachusetts. Percy Wendell, he was the halfback from Harvard University that earned a spot in the College Football Hall of Fame in the entry class of 1972. Wendell emerged as one of the East's finest runners per the National Football Foundation's bio on him. His Harvard team finished with an 8-0-1 record that season, helping arch rival Yale, keeping them scoreless, Yale, in the final game to force a tie. Bullet, as he was known, was the star. He gained 103 yards on 21 rushes against the Eagles. In the final victory of 1910, an 18-0 decision over Dartmouth, Percy had produced both of his team's touchdowns. During the 1911 season, while Wendell continued to dominate the Crimson attack, he led the club in scoring. He drew Walter Camp's All-American selection in each of his first 2 years, but injuries, well, they sidelined his abilities as Harvard's senior captain in 1912. He went on to coach football at Boston University, Williams College, and Lehigh University after his playing days. July 16, 1943, Port Arthur, Texas. Jimmy Johnson, the head coach of the national champion University of Miami Hurricanes and the Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, was born. Johnson got his first head coaching stint in 1979 with the Oklahoma State football program, and he stayed there until the Hurricanes hired him in 1984. He was unsure if he really wanted to leave Stillwater, or not especially filling the shoes of former Miami coach Howard Schellenberger, who had won Miami's first national championship just a couple years earlier in 1983, and then left for a job in the USFL. He brought the 4-3 defense to the Canes, and an atmosphere that encouraged the players to showboat at times. By 1986, Miami was undefeated, but was upset by number 2 Penn State in the Orange Bowl. The Hurricanes went undefeated in the regular season yet again in 1987 and won the school's second national title by defeating Oklahoma. A year or so later, Jimmy was hired by the struggling Dallas Cowboys in 1989. It wasn't pretty at first, but soon he started putting the pieces together of a great team. Some draft picks and a blockbuster trade that included star runner Herschel Walker, and the boys had the stamp of Jimmy Johnson all over them. He served 5 seasons with the Cowboys, and he guided the team to 2 Super Bowl championships. Johnson also coached the Miami Dolphins for 4 seasons and led the club to the playoffs in all but his very first year on the job. He was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a coach in a class of 2020. July 16, 1946, Chicago, Illinois, Ron Yeary. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he was an offensive tackle that played for Southern Cal in college and in the NFL for both the Vikings and later the Rams. Ron felt himself being picked first overall in the 1968 NFL draft by the Vikings. In his 15 NFL seasons, Yeary played in 7 Pro Bowls as he reached the All-Pro status in 6 straight years. During Yeary's pro career, the Vikings won 2 National Football League Central Division titles and 9 NFC Central championships. Minnesota with Yeary won the 1969 NFL championship and the NFC titles in 1973, 74, and 1976. This great player played in 5 NFL NFC championships and Super Bowls in number 4, 8, 9, and 11. Mr. Yeary was selected into both the College Football Hall of Fame in 1981 after his great play at USC and the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2001. July 16, 1951, Alton, Texas, Jerry Sizemore. He was a former offensive lineman that played for the University of Texas that's enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame for his outstanding play. The National Football Foundation claims that Jerry was an integral starter on the 1970 Longhorn team that built an unbeaten streak up to 31 games. The next year, Jerry blossomed into one of the nation's best linemen, as he had his first of 2 consecutive seasons where he was both an all-conference and a unanimous All-American selection. Mr. Sizemore, after college, played in the NFL for the Philadelphia Eagles for over a decade. July 16, 1968. Here's a big one. Wichita, Kansas. Barry Sanders, the running back for the Oklahoma State Cowboys during the 1986 through 1988 seasons, was born. The footballfoundation.org states that Sanders learned how to work hard as a youngster, helping his father put on roofs in the hot Wichita summers. This work ethic stuck with him through his gridiron career at both the college and the professional levels and paid dividends on Saturdays and Sundays. The hard work also taught him to be selfless and humble. Even after scoring one of his many touchdowns, he would generally just hand the ball to an official and trot off the field without even attention-grabbing celebration to be seen. While at Oklahoma State, he played behind All-American Thurman Thomas for two seasons. He used his grooming time wisely in his seasons as he spent as a backup, becoming a special teams demon, even leading the nation in kickoff return average in 1987. When Barry became the featured Cowboy back, he put together what the NFF describes as the most remarkable season ever compiled by a college running back. That year, he set 34 NCAA records in winning the Heisman Trophy, the Walter Camp Award, and the Maxwell Awards as a nation's top player. Barry led the nation in rushing with 2,628 yards, 3,250 all-purpose yards, and he scored 234 points. Sanders ran for over 300 yards in six games and exceeded the 200-yard mark seven times. Barry was rewarded by these feats in college by being selected as a top pick of the Detroit Lions in the 1989 NFL Draft, spending 10 seasons in the Motor City. In fact, he became the first player ever to rush for over 1,000 or more yards in his first 10 seasons, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame website. On the road to professional pigskin immortality, Sanders, with 1,304 yards rushing in 1990, topped all runners, and then repeated claiming the top NFL ground gainer title in 1994 with 1,883 yards, and in 96, running for 1,553 yards. His 44 receptions for 283 yards in 1994 gave him a combined 2,166 yards from scrimmage. The most impressive feat of his remarkable career, however, is when he won the NFL MVP Award in 1997, as he rushed for a league-best 2,053 yards and gained another 305 yards on 33 catches for an amazing 2,358 combined yards gained. To ice what he had gained, at least 100 yards in 14 consecutive games. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Barry Sanders in 2004, and while Mr. Sanders also entered the College Football Hall of Fame for this legendary college career at Oklahoma State in 2003. Many have described Barry Sanders as the best pure running back to ever play the game, as he left the NFL at a very fairly young age with a lot of yardage on his stat pile and many believe a lot more gas in the tank. July 16, 1974, Bradenton, Florida, Tommy Frazier, he was a quarterback out of the University of Nebraska who went into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2013. Mr. Frazier spearheaded the Huskers team that won the national championship titles back-to-back in 1994 and 95, going undefeated in both, a feat that was only done five times in college football history, per the footballfoundation.org. As an individual, Frazier was a big money in games, taking home the MVP honors in the 1995 Orange and the 1996 Fiesta Bowls en route to those national titles. Tommy was a 1995 consensus first team All-American and a Johnny Unitas Award winner and was a runner-up for the 1995 Heisman Trophy and a finalist for the Walter Camp and Maxwell Awards. Tommy played for the Montreal Alouettes of the Canadian Football League in 1996 before trying his hand at the coaching profession both at Nebraska and at Baylor. Well, I told you, we had some great football history today and some great players. We have Barry Sanders and coaches like Jimmy Johnson on here, as well as all the great history and all the other Hall of Famers that graced us, Tommy Frazier and the likes. Wow. That is just a wow day. And we hope you enjoyed this history. We hope that you got something out of it. And we really appreciate you sharing it with us today and coming in into the pig pen and listening. And we hope you do it each and every day. We're here for you. 365 days a year, we post a podcast every day on football history, sometimes two or three. And we're always found at your favorite podcast provider. So why don't you give us a like there and maybe follow us there. You can also follow us on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch. Go to the sportshistorynetwork.com and you'll find us there along with about 20-some other great podcasters on sports history that I'm sure you'll find some enjoyable hours of listening to. There's also a lot of great blog posts there. And speaking of blog posts, you can go to our site, just on football history, pigskindispatch.com. We have all of our podcasts, blog posts, and just about anything else you can imagine in the game of football there to celebrate and preserve the great game of football. And we thank you, and we thank you for helping us make Pigskin Dispatch the portal to positive football history. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Arnie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.